Okay, we are set for our conversation night. Welcome to our Tuesday night celebration of life. This is our opportunity to take on one of the six qualities of an intentional creator. Right now in your studio, your intentional creation studio, this is listed as quality number six. It really is the purpose for all six of them. After we finish tonight, we're going to start back over with number one next week, connection with people. And hopefully we will be better prepared to understand why we're practicing intrinsic validation. It's not just to take walls of resistance down and unleash cooperation and productivity. In the process, we heal self-esteem. When we're mentally creating and we're using our mind constructively to engage in activities that manifest ideas and impressions and solutions that ignite our passion, is to keep us in creation, passion-driven. But when we get the impression, act on it, and create something we didn't have otherwise, it heals self-esteem. Matter of fact, at the very end of the book, The Observer's Chair, just before you go into the appendix, the epilogue, it says this: when I am sitting in the observer's chair, being my true self, free from the noise of unhealthy habits of thinking and the burdens of the past, I use my gift of a vivid visualization to hear inspired whispers and see visions of possibilities. My passion is ignited. I trust my intuition and act immediately on these whispers and visions as if they were urgent assignments. I discover the validity of each, and in so doing, I trust and am trusted, I know and am known, and this knowingness is the single greatest source for healing my self-esteem. So we're going to learn to use our mind constructively. Then we're going to learn how to live passion-driven, where we can spend the day with our true self. Not the noise in our head, not the doubt, the fear, the confusion, but with our true self. Taking our clay, creating the most we can with it. Being given additional clay, people being put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. Then we're going to take on discipline and structure. The things that we're avoiding that keep us from staying in this process. And then back to join the journey where we were last week. And by this next time around, it would be my goal that all of us are finding more joy in our journey. And then we'll take on self-esteem again, and we'll cycle back through this process. So, tonight we're going to set up self-esteem. I am sitting here holding the book, The Observer's Chair. I hope most of you have it. It's an expanded version of what's in your studio. As I wrote in the book, I was inspired by Joe Soto to write an ebook on this topic and end up writing an entire book on the topic. And this is very personal to me, this conversation tonight. Because if I'm not conscious and awake and alert, it's very easy for me to drift back into some very negative self-talk. The Facebook post today, I don't know if anybody had a chance to read it on Og Mandino. Our Facebook post was a little unusual. I want to read it to you if I may. Just one half a second. I thought I had it up and I didn't. It's on this very topic. So here we are. You've heard this statement before. If I said half the things to you that your thought processes say to you, could we be friends? Society often steals from children their greatest gift, the ability to unconditionally love, and then sells it back to them as self-improvement when they get older. You've already paid a heavy price. Reclaim the gift. Then start with yourself. That's in terms of unconditionally loving. This has been my single greatest challenge, personally. Self-esteem. recently there's been some progress. But the reason why this whole topic became so sensitive, and I wrote for 30 nights in a row, was because this is my challenge. And I figured if I could address it in a way that it would, in the way that it served me, it could serve anyone. So let's go through the principles governing self-esteem. The very first thing we're going to want to do is know that when we choose to sit in what I'm going to call the observer's chair tonight, this place of wholeness and completeness, when we choose to sit here, we instantly feel different about ourselves. I had this conversation in a coaching session this morning. I had encouraged one of my clients to take on his life. He and I are challenging each other in our own exercise program and diet. And he said it was very interesting. I wasn't running miles. I was just starting the process, and I felt like a different person. We know that when we make the decision to take charge of our life, that we instantly feel powered, empowered, whole and complete, confident, valiant. Even if these measurements are saying something entirely different. Well, I want you to open up your assessment. Have it there in front of you so that we can discuss it. This assessment has measured a sequence. This sequence really starts with mental creation. Because how we choose to use our mind, the conversation we have with ourselves about how we'd like our life to be, is the single greatest creator of challenges in self-esteem. When we use this gift of vivid visualization destructively, is the single greatest cause of self-esteem challenges. So if we are beating ourselves up and questioning our worth and wondering what's wrong with us, that dialogue, if I said half those things to you, could we be friends? The primary cause is what's happening in the bottom right-hand side of your assessment. Am I driven by obligation or perfection? Am I using my gift of vivid visualization to fantasize or catastrophize? Am I overwhelmed by everything that I think needs to be done to finally get me to where I'd like to be or back to where I used to be? Am I struggling with commitment in my mind? Where is my mind? The conversation I'm having with myself about my life. What is it that I'm seeing in that space that I'd like to have that isn't currently here? And is my focus on thinking about everything that needs to be done to do that, or everything I'm going to want to create, or is it just going to it and living beyond it? Or is it overwhelmed by everything? What is happening in this space? Because the greatest healer of self-esteem is to manage those six measurements in the bottom right-hand quadrant. Self-direction. Being self-directed. Doing things because you want to. Get to, choose to. Honorable, having a reasonable expectation of your own performance. Goal-oriented, using your vivid visualization constructively, coachable, being open to new ways of thinking that will add value to your life so you don't stay stuck in old habits, pragmatic, having a realistic expectation of how much time and energy it's going to take to actually do the creation so I'm not overwhelmed. I'm just doing the next piece. And resolute, which is asking the question, am I committed to this direction? Clearly in my mind, am I committed to this direction? So this is where we're going to want to focus first in healing self-esteem. Then we move up to joy in the journey, which we talked about last week, and we had this conversation. I'm just punching this again. Because if we're still feeling, and I had dialogue that was negative today, we still have work to do. The dialogue that we have with ourselves about how we'd like our life to be is revealed when we wake up in our tangible world. Here we are, bring those thought processes of mental creation into the here and now, and often as a measuring stick, a measuring rod by which we measure the value of our reality. And it's always going to fall short, which means we're not going to be enjoying the journey. We're going to be in resentment and resistance and busy, 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 and frustration and overwhelm while we're here in the tangible world. The only place where we can actually create our dreams, we see them in our mind, ignites our passion, we come here and do the work. But if we're not using our mind in a way that ignites passion, instead we're using it in a way that when we come here we're just in frustration. Instead of creating, we're in resistance and anger. And then we turn inward and we say, what's wrong with me? So open up your assessment to the top right-hand side, because the question is it showing up in self-esteem? This sequence. Have I got an orange or a red goal-oriented, for an example? Have I got a red or orange grateful, enjoying the journey, or an effective, or a realistic, or a valiant? And when I say, what's wrong with me? Why am I not having joy in my journey? Take a look at self-esteem. See if there's any orange or any red. Because that tells us which buttons we're pushing. I want to walk through these six with you so that we can have a better feel for them. Then we're going to talk about a couple other things that will tear us off of this chair. And then I just want to open this up tonight to have us work through self-esteem and see if I can serve you. And we had some brave souls last week out on the phone. Oh, my goodness. Was that thrilling? And see if we can serve some tonight. So let's take it this first measurement. It's called whole and complete. Whole and complete. So I'm sitting here in reality having a conversation with myself about myself. That's what this self-esteem section is. I've already had the conversation the way I'd like my life to be. That's mental creation. How it's actually showing up. That's joy in the journey. And this is how I'm feeling about myself. Conversation with myself about myself. Whole and complete. Ask the question. Can I see my own intrinsic value, my own pricelessness, my own uniqueness? Can I see myself by the very virtue of being a human being, my worth and worthiness? Nothing's required for this one to be beautifully balanced. It's just an acknowledgement of the fact that I am nature's greatest miracle. Scroll four. I want to spend some time with that this week. Scroll four. I'm nature's greatest miracle. Can I see this? Now just take a look at your assessment. Is it red or orange? Because if it is, we look to this measurement for answers. Why is my life not turning out the way I had hoped it would? Why is it taking longer? Why is it harder? And we say, what's wrong with me? In this specific measurement, our question is to look back over our shoulder and play out all the mistakes we've made in our life. Play them out. What did I do? Oh my goodness. When I was 16, this happened. When I was 18, this happened. When I was 22, this happened. We start playing through this scenario right up to the present. I made this bad business decision. I invested in this incorrectly, or I believe this person, or whatever it might be. We're playing out our life circumstances to find evidence for why we are not currently experiencing what we hope we would be experiencing. That's all that measurement says. So if your measurement's orange or red, just start making a list this next week. I shared this once before when we were on this quality, that I remember the first time I became aware that I was doing this, and it wasn't that long ago, that that's how it's being played out. I've asked hundreds and hundreds of people since with this measurement, orange and red, to examine the conversation they have with themselves, about turning out the way they are right now. We are holding ourselves hostage to past errors as the reason why we're not being, quote-unquote, blessed. I want you to know that is a false and terribly destructive thought process. I just want you to be with that for a moment. Because our mind is going to say, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. This measurement has nothing to do with what we've done. There's nothing to do. It's can we see our pricelessness, period. Not based on what we've done, based on our family, based on bad relationship, no. Can we see our pricelessness, period. And what dialogue is showing up that's robbing us from owning this incredible gift that we are? Now that doesn't mean we haven't made mistakes, I certainly have. But when we've owned our uniqueness and pricelessness, it gives us courage to press forward, to improve, to be better, to maximize this incredible gift we've been given, not to be destroyed by what we haven't done or what we did wrong. So tonight, just for a moment, suspend all past actions, everything you've done, everything that's been done to you. And just for a moment, embrace the fact that you are unique. You are rare. And there's value simply in your uniqueness and rarity, period. That's the first measurement. This one's often troubled. The second measurement is I am confident. I am confident. This one often turns yellow when we bring into the equation of expectations how I'd like my life to be, when we start comparing how it is against other people who have what we want. We only fall short in comparison to, well, I should have gotten more formal education, like so-and-so. I wish I was born into that family because of this. I wish I had their car, their house. Could be simple things like that. I wish I had her body, her hair, her figure, her weight. I wish I had their children. Can you hear all those pieces? When this one starts to play out, the dialogue is so dangerous. I wish I had her hair, body, personality, charisma, skill, intellect, education. If you have the observer's chair, this is on page 92. I wrote out all this sample dialogue so you could hear it. I wish I had his car, home, bank account, financial freedom. I am so ugly, fat, old, bald, short, tall, slow. I should have married someone else, had more children, less children, more successful children. Raised my children differently, listened more, showed up more, been more loving. How many stories have we got? I am such a failure compared to the rest of my friends, family, coworkers, community, church members. I should have had a different career, invested more wisely, spent or borrowed less money, sold sooner, stayed in longer, had a different business partner. And the older we get, the more common these next two are. Or three, I don't have the time or energy to start over again. I don't know how long I can keep doing this. Ugh. Why did I do that? What's the use in even trying? You can hear this thought process playing out. So destructive. I just want to see if you can hear them. these thought processes go, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. And you could say, yes, when I surrender myself to you. That's the kind of thing I say. That's how I act. That's the challenges I face. And then you want to have the affirmations. All these affirmations are in your intentional creation studio. They're also available in the book if you want to get them here. I own my clay. I embrace my uniqueness and natural genius and act free of hesitation, doubt, and fear. And then we proclaim, that is me. That is me. This particular measurement, more people have in self-esteem, confident, orange or red, more than any other measurement in self-esteem, just so you know. It's almost the 90th percentile. You may not have it, but 90% do have this measurement, orange or red. And the dialogue is so damning that we've actually owned it, because all first person, as if that's who we are. That's not who we are. That's not me. I'm going to own my clay. Okay, so I don't have the car that I want, but I'm going to create the resources to get the car I'd like. I may not be the ideal body weight, but I'm on an exercise program that if I stick to over a long period of time, I will get there. I want to own my clay. I'm going to take responsibility for creating the most I can with it, and not in comparison to somebody else's clay, because that comparison game just kills us. Third measurement. And you can stop me anytime on a measurement if you have a question. Valiant. This measurement simply says, okay, here I am. What is my dialogue with myself about my own belief systems? My own opinions. What's my dialogue? Am I doing anything in my life that's causing me to feel like I'm violating something I know to be different? Sometimes this happens with home-based businesses where I'm not having the success I had hoped to have by a certain period of time. And so when I'm selling the idea that they can, I feel like I'm lying because I haven't. Very interesting, subtle challenge. Another challenge with this measurement is that down in mental creation, just drop down there for a moment to the second measurement, honorable, I have an unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable. No matter what I do, it's never going to be good enough. I've got to be perfect. Well, if I've got to be perfect and nobody that's fully human, qualifier, has lived on this planet, has been perfect, no one has ever been fully perfect that was human. That means I'm going to fall short every time. Every time. That means valiant may be out of balance because I bring to my own world an expectation of perfection, and every time I fall short, I am violating my own belief system. Imagine that. We're back to why controlling these measurements in mental creation are so critical. Valiant. Now, some of you have this measurement over-focused, which means I'm outspoken. I'm opinionated about my beliefs because I'm using this overcompensation to feel better about myself. I may be beating myself up, but I'm going to tell you how I believe because that makes me feel better. I'm overcompensating for some other place in my self-esteem that's causing a challenge. So just hear that one. Those are the top three. Bottom three, peaceful. Fourth one down. Peaceful is tied to the left-hand side of your assessment, go all the way to the bottom. Do you have any orange or red measurements in disciplined, teachable, or analytical and methodical? Any orange or red measurements in disciplined, teachable, analytical, or methodical? Because when those measurements are over-focused, one of the great risks is I'm going to get attached to my ideas. We know that 95% of the time my idea is attached to my self-worth. So if you don't agree with me, or you summarily dismiss an idea that I'm highly invested in, I really believe that, peaceful is going to get pushed. Because one of two things is going to happen. One, I'm either going to be I'm going to defend my position. Because self-preservation's on the line. My self-worth is at stake. You're questioning my worth. I'm going to fight back. And you look in relationships where someone is in a right-wrong battle with someone and somebody needs to be right and the other person's fighting back. Just know the reason for fighting back, they're just trying to protect their self-esteem. It really has very little to do with the idea at that point. And if we all step back and said, topping on a pizza, a battle over that. Spent a little too much on milk this month, a little battle over that. It's not about the milk, it's not about the pizza. Which way to get here, go there, what we should do. It's preservation of self-esteem. So we will either fight, or on the other end of the spectrum, we'll surrender. It's called acquiesce. We'll give up. We'll give in to keep the peace. But I want you to feel the energy around this give up. I will sacrifice me to keep the peace. I'm giving up part of me. It is destroying my self-esteem. I'm allowing it to be destroyed by not standing up for my position. Because that's, we view that as my two options. I either give up or I stand up. The balance in this measurement is that I honor what I believe. I don't give up anything. I also give somebody else the right to have their opinion. And if it doesn't cause something that's life-threatening, what is hurt by doing it their way? I'll put pepperoni on the sausage. I'll put on the pizza, or put sausage on, who cares? It doesn't really matter that much. I happen to like pepperoni. If they don't want to have pepperoni on the sausage, I'll have pepperoni on the pizza. I'll just keep saying that. I'll have pepperoni on my pizza when I'm ordering it for myself. But as a group, if everybody wants sausage, fine, we'll go sausage. It's not going to kill me. It's not a big deal. That's a really healthy place to be. I'm okay with my idea. And I don't have to give up a part of me to allow you to have yours. Even though it may be totally different. That's a really healthy place to be. And I don't need to defend it. I don't need to fight for it. And I don't need to cause a battle over it. I'm okay with it. That's where we want to be with peaceful. I want to hope some of you are smiling because that's a really tender message. The vast majority acquiesce. They give up themselves to keep the peace. A lesser number fight for it. And an even lesser number are so okay with themselves and their idea, they don't need to worry about it. It's not a big deal. Okay, next one, deliberate. Oh, this one. This one is orange in the 90th percentile as well. When deliberate turns orange, this is a boundary issue. Here I am having a conversation with myself, and there's all kinds of things that people want me to do and I want to do, and my plate's already full. You know, this is the mom at the PTA meeting who's got six kids, is already the cub master and the PTA secretary and is on the committee for whatever else at her church, and they're asking for a volunteer. And she feels this need to sacrifice her time and even her energy and even her well-being to serve. Sometimes it's to prove I'm okay. Sometimes it's for fear of being thought of as being less than. What will they think of me if I don't say it? Sometimes it's because we think we're the very best to do it and it won't get done well enough if we don't jump in and do it. So good enough. Maybe it's good enough, not well enough. That didn't feel very well. Feel very good. So good enough. So we jump in and we agree. If you've got an orange or red deliberate, you're going to want to strap your arm to the armrest. Tape it up with duct tape. Your plate is so full, there is no time left for you. And you're sacrificing your time and your energy and even your well-being to prove you're okay, or to do something nobody else could do as well, or for fear what they'll think of you if you don't do it. Don't do it. And if you agree to do it for a different reason. I want to. I get to. I choose to. I know where this is going to fit in, and I can allocate this time to do it, and I'm willing to do that. But you're going to want to make sure there's time for you, because if this measurement's orange or red, there's a very good chance there's very little time left for you. And if you don't have time to sharpen your saw, it will get dull. It'll take twice as much effort to get half as much done, and you'll be totally exhausted and really of no value. Eventually, you get sick. It'll wear you right out. So if deliberate is orange or red, just go, wow, what's the dialogue I have around this? Every time someone needs help, what am I saying to myself? Why can't I just say no? Now, I'm not suggesting you clear your plate, but I am suggesting whatever is on your plate, you do it for a different reason. Let's start setting boundaries. We don't go to the other side where we decide not to do anything. Yeah, I'm just a big no. That's not what we're saying. Just be wise. And just know it's okay to have a little downtime in a day where you can just be still and relax and rest and regain your strength so we're not running faster than we have strength. That's deliberate. So just take a look at that one. Now, some of you have that measurement green, and I know that it's just teetering on almost being orange. It's really close. So if any of that speaks to you and it's green, don't go, well, mine's green, so does that mean I don't have a challenge? It just means that something might be going on right now you need to be sensitive to. But for the most part, you're going to be better off than somebody who's orange or red in terms of being able to set boundaries about your own time. So that's deliberate. One last one, unconditional. It's not as normal to have this one. Say normal. It's not normal. It's not as common to have this measurement orange or red. I'm going to pause for a moment and share with those who may, because this can be really tender. This measurement is saying, I'm okay. If it's orange or red, I'm okay if I am intrinsically destroyed. I'd be okay with that. This is when guilt turns into shame. Guilt, I feel bad about what I've done. Shame, I'm feeling bad about who I am. At my core, my fiber, I am starting to say I am worthless. Now just ponder and ask yourself, what have I done that might be unresolved? I remember meeting with a gentleman back east whose family had generational wealth, a lot of money. And he was the heir, so he got the wealth. And he took advantage of what he thought was an enormous boom in the real estate market and invested heavily with his family's wealth in real estate. And 2008 came, and he lost everything. That which had been passed down from my great-grandfather to grandfather to father to him, generational wealth, it's gone. The horse stables, the riding lessons, the private schools, the private jet, all gone. Living in a rented house. He was so full of shame. His unconditional measurement was red. He didn't know how he could ever recover from that. And in his life and family, wealth was tied to his worth. Or his worth was tied to his wealth, I should say. And so, with the loss of it, he was in a position where he would say something like this. You know, if I got broadsided by a semi this afternoon and I left this planet, I'd be okay with that. Or if I could hit that cement post over there and have it ruled an accident, wouldn't bring the shame of suicide to my family. I get that. But he's thinking suicidal thoughts in terms of wishing there were a way for him not to be on this planet. Some who get to a red unconditional might actually start entertaining those thoughts. If you are, get to someone who you can talk to. I know from absolute personal experience, there's nothing we can do or have done to us on this planet that can't in time be repaired. Nothing. And you are unique and you are priceless. You're beyond value. And you would never want to even think about taking your life. We've noticed that suicide here in our area is on the uptick. Significant increases happening all around us. Just get some professional help if that's on your mind. Whew. Okay, I've said it. So there it is. Can you see these six measurements? Whole and complete. I'm questioning. Oh, that's the reason why I'm not having success. Confident. I'm comparing what I currently have against somebody else's and feeling less than. Or, even more subtle, occasionally I'll find something that I'm better at so I can compare it against those who aren't as good so I can feel better about myself. That's a really subtle use of that measurement. Valiant, I'm either holding myself to a standard that I cannot keep and beating myself up for it. Or there's a possibility I may be doing something. I may be doing something that I know is not serving me and showing up. Just take a look at it. It may be that I'm selling something that I don't think I'm currently experiencing. So I want to step back and see what I really am experiencing so I can talk about the good that's happening to me as a person instead of just the finances, like a home-based business kind of a situation. Peaceful? Can other people have their ideas without needing to defend mine or feel like I'm losing me by letting them have their way? What's happening in that peaceful measurement? Deliberate? What's on my plate? How full is it? How tired am I? Would it serve if I set boundaries? Not just what I will do or won't do, but my motivation for doing it in the first place. And lastly, unconditional. Am I starting to go from guilt about something and starting to turn it into shame? Starting to feel bad about who I am? These are so important, these measurements. Again, the most common cause is unmet expectations. The second most common cause is the comparison game. I've just been in comparison. I'm sitting here, my clay's in my hands, but I'm looking everywhere else. And I spend a life looking everywhere else, and I'm just less than. I'll never stack up. I'll never be able to participate. I feel so alone, so isolated. Those feelings are generally driven by a lack of ownership of my own clay. Because when we own our own clay and we begin to create the most we can with it, we start to see our own gifts and strengths. That's when it gets magnificent. And we begin to focus on what I can create with this and then bring it to the service of another person. Oh, it's magnificent. The third most common cause is a traumatic event. This is when something has happened to us. Could be molestation as a child, emotional, physical, sexual. It could be a bad relationship where someone just demeaned us and demeaned us and demeaned us until we have taken over their voice and now we're telling ourselves the same thing. That's potentially very destructive. And sometimes requires therapeutic intervention. Someone can help you process through that. And the fourth cause is secrets. The most common of the secrets would be addictions, alcohol, drugs, pornography, where what we do in secret is very different than what we present to the public. And we're confused who we are. There's also a secret around something like depression, where we feel ashamed of struggling from an illness, it's a very interesting secret. That's another common cause. So, I'm going to open this up. Here we are. We're looking at these six measurements. We're looking at mental creation. What could be causing this? What do I do? Take this one on. And I'm here to see what I can do in terms of my experience to answer that question for you as best I can. Who would like to jump out tonight? Who can I serve?
Dave?
Yes?
This is Toby Vicker. How are you this evening, sir?
Toby, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Welcome, Toby. I'm doing great.
I have a question that relates to something that you said last week.
Okay.
I was unable to make the meeting, but I listened to the taping of it. And it's under mental creation and under goal-oriented.
Yes.
And mine is red. And you talked about that briefly, and I think you said it's okay if it's red. And then you gave some reasons to okay if it's red, but on how to control it. Would you elaborate a little more on that, sir?
Absolutely, because that measurement is the number one cause of challenges in self-esteem if it's not used constructively.
Okay.
And 98% of the people with that measurement use it destructively. That's an alarming percentage, isn't it? We're changing. Yeah, it's like, wow, okay, talk to me, help me understand this. Yes, we're going to change the way that definition is presented here in the next couple of months with our new revised view of the assessment.
Okay.
It would say goal-oriented, high-risk, destructive vivid visualization. That's the risk.
Okay.
What we do know, when this turns red, that it's telling me that you've got the capacity to vividly visualize at a very high level. It's fair to say, Toby, and if we had time to develop this and I could step into your world, I'll just do my best and see if I'm accurate.
All right.
You might spend a fair amount of time in your mind. And it's the kind of thought process, somebody says, well, I don't know if I'm vivid or not. And I say, well, have you ever missed the exit, you know? Because your mind was somewhere else. Do you ever have somebody do something to you and you're just constantly obsessively thinking about it and trying to come up with an answer and you just can't let it go? That's what a red goal-oriented does. It does obsessive thinking. It is very vivid in its thought process. And if it's not used constructively, in other words, if we go into catastrophe,
right,
that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement, it will take you to the depths of hell in 10 minutes.
Okay.
You could be homeless. The world's come to an end. Your relationships are destroyed. Finances are going. In 10 minutes, it's over.
Right.
At the same time, it can take you to the heights of heaven. I got $56 million in the bank, and I got more interest coming in than I know how to spend, and I got a jet airplane, and all of life is wonderful. My debts are paid, and all my problems are solved, and you can go there too. But both of those are destructive uses. The price we pay when we go to either one of those places is enormous. Our body, with the cortisol that's released, the fear dendrites that are released, is just devastating. At the same time, if we choose to discipline it, and by the way, Toby, I have the same measurement, so
okay,
I'm speaking from passion. If we say, not going to go there today, I'm going to stay in creation, and we start to mentally rehearse, we start to think about an event that's coming up, and our thoughts are, how can I serve? You know, what can I create? How can I create that? How would that serve someone? And we're just as desirous to come up with ideas. We can go to the next event in our life, the next meeting, the next interview, the next client, whatever it might be, and start thinking through and start coming up with ideas that, well, if we had you wired to a functional MRI, light up part of your brain that's normally dormant in a human being. And this would all be happening at a very high level because of the red. The vividness with which you could see would be very high. The passion could be very high working without counting the cost or tracking the time. Just go to a time when you had an idea that was so exciting you couldn't sleep.
Been there.
You've been there. That's passion. To that extent, because of the vividness with which you can see a possibility. You do that destructively, depths of hell, heights of heaven, which puts you in the depths of hell, here, using it constructively, you can get such clear instruction. To ignite your passion and drive your action, that you can create more quickly than almost anyone. But the risks of it not being used this way are so high. Hypervigilance is the word. You must be hypervigilant to use it, the five constructive ways of thinking.
All right.
Are you with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Now let me ask you a question. If you go up to the next section, any reds or oranges and enjoying the journey?
Yes, sir. Grateful is orange. Persistent is red, realistic is orange, and diligent is orange. The other two are blue.
Okay. Grateful is just saying when you wake up in the morning and you're looking at life and it's not showing up the way you've seen it. Called the UGG factor. UGG.
Okay.
This is a really personal question. I won't expect you to answer it.
That's all right.
Persistent when it turns red?
Yes.
Just says, there's something about the way I'd like my life to be versus the way it is as it relates to money.
Okay. You're right on.
Okay. So I'm over-focused on, I got to get the money. Well, I said yes last week, if you remember when you listened. When we chase the money, it runs.
Yes.
It doesn't come to us. When we chase it, it runs. And so we just run faster and faster and faster, and we're more focused on the money. When money comes by serving people, what can I create? How can I create that? How will I serve? I show up and I really solve their problems. Mine gets solved. Zig Ziglar, solving up people's problems, my problems get solved, right?
Right.
Orange and realistic. Realistic. You're standing on this rim of the canyon, and I said some of this last week, but I'm going to repeat it because it's worth saying again. I'm standing on this rim of the canyon. My mind has been over on the other side. It knows what's possible, and it wants to be there. But in tangible reality, I can't figure out how to build this bridge. See, when I was in fantasy, in mental creation, I wasn't focused on building the bridge. I just went there and then imagined what it would be like to live there.
Right.
In tangible reality, I don't get to just go to the other side. I have to actually build a bridge to it.
You have to figure it out how to get there.
Have to figure out how to make it happen. Yeah. And all realistic is saying, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
And diligent says, there's some things going on in my life that I'm either pointing to that's why, or I'm allowing them to happen, and they're impacting my productivity. To actually do the work of creation, to build the bridge, so that my reality starts to reflect where my mind has been. Now, let's go to self-esteem, because I went through this for the very purpose of tonight.
Okay.
Any orange or red in self-esteem?
Yes. Whole and complete is red, and confident is orange.
Okay. There you go. Now you know that when you say, I can almost touch it. Can almost taste it. Why can't I have it? What's wrong with me? Those are the two places you're asking that question.
Okay.
Whole
and
complete.
Sort of like chasing the money, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like saying, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
So I don't have it. Or confident, what am I lacking that's keeping me from creating it?
Yeah.
And the real answer isn't either one of those. The real answer is going back to goal-oriented.
Okay.
And learning to use your mind constructively. Because
right.
If you do, and you get an inspired idea,
right.
In joy in the journey, in this tangible reality, you're working without counting the cost or tracking the time, and you're creating. And how are you feeling about yourself?
All right. And I guess I can answer that question because I've been there before.
Yes, absolutely.
In the past.
Well, these are just thought processes anyway. You could go there today. Right. Just that red hole and complete is tugging you out of this observer's chair all the time. Wham! Get back over here quickly. Get over here and stay here longer. By going back to mental creation, goal-oriented and using your mind constructively, mental rehearsal, inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, I can tell from our conversation that you've had a few things happen that might have kicked you in the fanny a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else suffering from a similar wound?
Thank you very much, Dave.
You're welcome. Just answer that question. Is there anybody else suffering from a similar wound?
That I know of in particular?
Maybe. Do you think anybody else has had something similar happen to them?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. So if there's anyone like that, put them on my path and I'll serve them. There's another use of that great gift.
Okay.
Of goal-oriented. Then we'll explore exploration, planning, goal setting. We'll come back to all of those. But next week, we're going to go into taking all the stuff that's in your sack that you're dragging around.
Right.
That you're looking into and saying, oh, that's why. Oh, that's why. Or there's my deficit.
Right.
And we're going to take it out of the sack. We're going to put it in your heart and have you show up focused on other people.
Great.
Because when self-esteem has measurements, this is for everybody now, when self-esteem has measurements that are red and orange, we are self-focused. The invitation is for us to focus outward. Is anybody else feeling this? Because I know what this feels like. I could hear things in them nobody else would hear. I could ask questions nobody else would think to ask. I can serve at such a high level because of what I've been through. I hope that assisted you, Toby.
It did. Very much so, sir.
Thanks for coming out. Thanks for being on the call tonight.
Thank you.
Well, we have about 5 more minutes. Does anybody else? Anybody else have a question tonight? I hope we're starting to see that relationship. Toby, this is what drove me writing the book today, A Begin a New Life.
Right.
Goal-oriented, hating life, beating the crap out of myself, if I can just be so crass and saying it that way.
Yes.
Oh, the pain in that.
Jay?
Yes.
Hi, this is Linda.
And, Linda?
Priscilla's group.
Yes, Linda. Tell Priscilla hi for me.
I will. I don't even know where to start, and I know you've only got 5 minutes, but I guess I'm so confused right now because in my mind, I hear myself saying things and do it and asking myself these questions. And when it comes down to looking at my self-esteem chart, I have one orange and one red.
Mm-hmm.
And my orange is whole and complete. And my red is valiant. And they are really interfering with me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, I guess I really want to know what is the best way to try to turn that around. I guess when I say valiant is red, I am wondering at times if I am doing the right thing by being in this home-based business that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have not been successful. And in my job that I retired from, I was very successful.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what's the difference? You know, why was I really successful here and I'm not successful here? And I'm confident. My confidence is green. I mean, I'm confident about me. I'm confident about my ability. And as far as, you know, deliberate is concerned, Deliberate is blue and unconditional is blue.
Beautiful.
And I'm just wondering, it just seems like one offsets the other. I don't know if I'm making any sense at all or not. But,
let me take a quick stab at it, if I may. Tonight, we're not going to heal self-esteem. So let's be okay with that. Tonight, we're beginning to understand why these measurements are here. The way we're going to heal this is to show up starting next week where we start to practice intrinsic validation, but this time with a whole new purpose. Because, Linda, you want to get rid of that orange hole and complete and that red valiant. And one of the most powerful things you'll do, other than just using your mind constructively, is to learn how to shift your focus to the service of others and become a masterful listener. And then learning how to ask empathetic questions based on how you currently have experienced life yourself. When we start to understand that many people have the same dialogue going on, they just don't look like it. And we start listening and asking empathetic questions and their walls start coming down and their cooperation floods over us. Two things will happen. One, it'll start to heal your self-esteem. And two, when we practice this time, Linda, just stick with me for the next few weeks every Tuesday night. And let's really work on this intrinsic validation, this next piece, more than you have in any of the coaching sessions you've been on so far. Because it is the key to succeeding in your home-based business.
Dave?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this. I guess one of the things that bothers me so much is those are some of the qualities I needed in my previous job that I retired from.
Yep.
I knew how to ask empathetic questions. I knew how to step out of my world and into theirs because I was in sales, and that was the only way I basically could be successful was understand what their needs were before I could produce my product that would help satisfy their needs.
Right.
I don't understand why it's gone away and I can't do it now.
Well, I'll give you one word and bring it to our session next week because we're going to take it on. Before, it didn't have the same agenda energy. See, when Valiant is red and you bring it to this business, I feel like I'm telling a lie. I'm selling a dream and living a nightmare. What I'm selling, I'm not living. And so I feel fake and phony. I feel like I'm selling an agenda. And I don't think you experienced that in your previous profession.
I did not.
You did
it
not.
Took,
that's the reason why.
It took me... Well... It took me a while to really have the confidence in my product and not feel like I'm a fake and selling an agenda or selling something that's not going to be helpful to them. It took a while. Once I did, that's when I became very successful.
Uh-huh. And we will talk, because many people on this call are in a home-based business, so it'll be part of our discussion the next couple of weeks. Because you'll want to come to that same end result with the products you're offering through the company that you represent. I know you've got some great products.
Yeah, we do.
You do. And when you move past that Valiant conversation, it's red. It's screaming at you. You are violating this person's space. You are not being true to yourself. The conversation is just screaming so loudly. There's a very good chance that not only would you be awkward in the conversation with them, there's an even greater chance you may not have the conversation at all. You may avoid it. And your business requires talking to a lot of people.
Sure.
So your activity can be impacted by Valiant. It'll actually keep you, you spend a lot of time thinking, so it'll feel like you're in the business and you're talking to a lot of people, but the conversation's with you about yourself. It's not with another human being about this. So you can't actually impact your own activity levels based on this conversation. So I'm going to ask you, bring this next week, all of you. Take a look at self-esteem and go, wow, what dialogue am I bringing when I'm connecting with another person? Because here's the secret. When we're truly connecting, there is no dialogue about us. None. We don't bring Valiant with us. We don't bring Whole and Complete with us. We are now so available to serve another person. And I'll share with you the best I can the principles so that you can have moments like this with another human being, because the more of them you have, the more successful you'll be in every part of your life. Because I can imagine, Linda, in your previous profession, you got to that space. You didn't bring that noise with you. And so the person, you were there totally for them, totally to listen to them, totally to ask questions about them. You're totally present with them, and you found out what they needed and how your product could serve them. And you invited them to participate, and they purchased, and you were successful. Now it's time to learn how to do that with your home-based business product. You okay with that? Will you come next week for that?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, how fun. What's so fun about this is I'm feeling us in the last couple, 3 weeks, particularly, getting more intentional about why we're going to take on the next advisor. Tonight is, let's get a clear view of where the challenges are. Now let's begin the process of actually taking on these principles, practicing them, being active with them, and having them start to shift our self-esteem. Because when it's all said and done, we want to feel good about ourselves and be enjoying our journey. We do that by serving and using our mind constructively and staying passion-driven action. But ultimately, we want to be at peace. Og said it that way. He said, I hunger for success, happiness, and peace of mind. Lest I act, in other words, take these principles we're going to be exploring and use them. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. I will command, which means I'll command. I will tell myself we're going to listen. Tell myself I'm going to use my mind constructively. These are personal decisions. I will command and I will obey my own command. I will act now. If I hesitate, success will become betrothed to another and lost to me forever. This is the time. This is the place. I will act now. So let's bring that burning desire into these very specific processes of connection and then mental creation. We'll work our way back through them. Come, if you're listening to this as a recording, I hope it's an impetus to come live next week and participate. Let's take on connection like we never have before in this class, ever. And start applying those principles, because next week we're going to learn principles we actually practice every single day. And as we practice them, we're healing self-esteem. Well, thanks, everyone. I have really enjoyed being with you. I apologize I can't stay longer tonight. I've got a group of our coaches here tonight for a little bit of a powwow. A couple of them coming in from out of town. It's very exciting to be with them. This work that we're engaged in is just so wonderful. Thank you all for being here. And Toby, thank you. And Linda, thank you for participating tonight. I'll be back with you next Tuesday. Does everybody come off of mute and sign off and say goodnight, if you would, please?
Good night, Dave.
Good night,
everybody. Everybody.
Thank you much, Dave. Good night.
You're welcome.
Good night,
Dave.
It's Deb Johnston, Vancouver. I came on late.
Oh, thank you for being on the call.
Yes, I'm back in the groove, so I'm going to do some catch-up, and I'll be here next